over the previous 2 years. Dispatches has also discovered that Mr. Zabludovic has a business interest in the Middle East that raises questions about his and Vicom's approach to a peace settlement between Israel and the Palestinians. We're travelling along the highway from Israel to the occupied West Bank. On the other side of the security wall are Palestinian villages. We're on our way to Male Adumim, an Israeli settlement where we have discovered that the biggest building, this shopping mall, belongs to a company partly owned by Mr. Zabludovic. Male Adumim is regarded by Israelis as being part of Israel, but counts as an illegal settlement under international law.
Portals.
I asked if it disturbed her that Vicom's chairman has a commercial interest in a settlement which is viewed as illegal under international law.
I don't know about any of his business interests whatsoever. It's never been discussed with us. The board never discussed their various individual business interests. We are solely here to provide journalists and interested policy makers and opinion formers with the ability to scrutinise more closely the various different strands in the debate that is Israel.
There are, of course, other groups lobbying on behalf of Israel in Britain, in addition to Vicom and the Conservative and Labour Friends of Israel. There's the Jewish Leadership Council, the Zionist Federation, and the Board of Deputies of British Jews. Aside from seeking to influence politicians and opinion formers, which is the stock and trade of any lobby, some members of the pro-Israel lobby are also especially aggressive towards British television and the press.
I have spoken to editors who just say, actually, it's just not worth the trouble. I stay away from the subject, or I stay away from stirring it up.
The BBC and The Guardian are portrayed as being the biggest media enemies of Israel that exist, maybe in Europe, but certainly in the UK.
And the lobby keeps them under constant attack.
Well, it's off the scale in terms of Israel. I mean, I see other ambassadors, but I can't. I'm trying to see if I can remember ever being carpeted or taken to task seriously over our coverage of countries. And offhand, I can't think of one.
It's an evening in February 2006. At the Israeli ambassador's residence in London, a special meeting is taking place. Present are the Israeli ambassador, Pochu Zabludovic, Henry Grunwald, who was president of the British Board of Deputies, and property magnate Gerald Ronce. They're unhappy with a two-part article by The Guardian's Middle East correspondent, Chris McGreal, who has compared Israeli occupation of the West Bank with apartheid in South Africa. They decide that Henry Grunwald and Gerald Ronson will pay Rusbridger a visit.
Their pitch was that The Guardian was encouraging anti-Semitism to the extent that it was effectively an incitement to violence against Jews in Britain. Henry Grunwald's a very bright barrister and made the case in a perfectly straightforward way. And then Ronson, who was the kind of sort of heavy on the occasion, began by saying, I think his phrase was, I've always said, opinions are like arseholes, everyone's got one. And then he effectively said, I'm in favour of free speech, but there is a line which can't be crossed. And as far as I'm concerned, you've crossed it. And you must stop this.
There's Ronson telling you you've been fomenting attacks on Jews. Mm. What do you say to him?
I just said, you know, I'd be interested in the evidence. I'm not sure how you make that causal connection between somebody reading an article that's critical of the foreign policy of Israel and then thinking, why don't I go out and mug Jews on the streets of London? I mean, I just can't believe that happens.
On top of the visit to the Guardian's offices, a lengthy complaint against McGreal's articles was made to the Press Complaints Commission by an American pro-Israel media watchdog called Camera, with a reputation for aggressively complaining against what it claims is anti-Israel reporting. In the end, the Press Complaints Commission found only one small fact to be wrong.
Nobody could shake the facts on it, but it was nevertheless regarded as something that just should not have been published.
The views of those who criticised The Guardian are not shared by the entire British Jewish community.
In the occupied territories, Israel is an apartheid state. There's no two ways about it. When settlers travel on one road and Palestinians have to use another road, when settlers are governed by Israeli law and Palestinians are governed by military law, you are talking about apartheid.
What sort of reaction are you expecting when the pro-Israeli lobby notes your conversation in this film?
They'll say, oh, there goes Goldberg, the anti-Zionist self-hating Jew again. You know, I'm quite sure.
In fact, we found that by no means all Britain's 300,000 Jews are happy for the pro-Israel lobby groups to represent their views. Tony Lehrman used to be director of the London-based Institute for Jewish Policy Research. Today, he's a regular Guardian contributor.
Some of these bodies like to present themselves as representing all of Jewish opinion and don't account or don't take into account the diversity of opinion in this country. And, I mean, that's one of the criticisms that people from within the Jewish community who are critics of Israel level at the Israel lobby, that there is this tendency to make it look as if all Jews feel one way about Israel, when in fact there's a lot of different opinion about Israel.
There is a split in the Jewish community about Israel. The leaders tend to be blindly pro-Israeli. The Israel lobby does represent a narrow right-wing agenda, but it is not representative of the entire Jewish community.
Nonetheless, we found that calling critics of Israel's foreign policy anti-Semitic has become a deliberate tactic among some of Israel's more strident lobby groups. Here's an example from a blog based in New York. Its sole purpose is to scrutinize the Guardian's comment is free website. Hawkeye, the mystery man who says he runs it, told the Jewish Chronicle,
besides the fact that CIF features a long list of anti-Zionists, including many Jewish anti-Zionists, its comment threads are full of vile anti-Semitic sentiments. How do you react to that?
I think it would be a terribly dangerous thing if the British press were made to feel that they couldn't criticise Israel because they're going to be held up as anti-Semitic. I think it's a very disreputable argument.
I've been having a look through the Comment is Free Watch website. Here's what it's got to say about an article by Tony Lehrman. It says that Lehrman is making despicable, libelous and completely unsubstantiated allegations about Jews. It says that's anti-Semitic and he's a nasty anti-Semite.
Well, who say it's I right? asked Tony Lehrman what he feels about Hawkeye's comments.
It's upsetting, but one gets over it. I think there are people who are deliberately manipulating the use of the term anti-Semitism because they do see that it's useful in defending Israel.
It might well be that some critics of Israel are seriously anti-Semitic. Okay, deal with them on the case. Others are voicing a genuine feeling which should be respected and does not make them anti-Semitic.
I've been accused in certain newspapers because I've been talking to Hamas and Hezbollah of being anti-Semitic, and I just take that with a pinch of salt.
In part three, Dispatches investigates, has the BBC been compromised by the pro-Israel lobby? Dispatches has been investigating how Britain's pro-Israel lobby exercises its influence and financial muscle today in Westminster, and how critics of Israel's foreign policy in the press get branded as anti-Semitic.
But what about the BBC? On the record, BBC executives tell us they've always reported Israel and Palestine without bias. Off the record, former executives and programme makers have told us they've always been aware of pressure from top management over Middle East coverage.
Charlie Beckett was a BBC news editor and worked for Channel 4. He now heads a media think tank at the London School of Economics and keeps in touch with his former colleagues.
There is a very strong and very active Israeli lobby exercise, both an official Israeli lobby, and of course there is a sizable population who are very sympathetic to Israel and are very active at making their voice heard and putting direct pressure, especially on the BBC. It works because the BBC has no choice, in a sense, but to respond.
The Israeli government and another pro-Israel internet watchdog, this one called Honest Reporting, take full advantage of that.
Honest Reporting has been in the forefront of efforts to fight the media's institutional bias against Israel.
March 2003. As American and British-led coalition forces invade Iraq, the BBC broadcasts a hard-hitting investigation into Israel's nuclear weapons program. The Israeli government press office compares the film to the worst of Nazi propaganda. The Israeli government immediately imposes restrictions on BBC crews in Israel. When Israel's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon visits Downing Street, the BBC alone is banned from his press conference. And Honest Reporting UK says the film is part of a campaign to vilify Israel. It says the inference behind the film is that Israel would have been a more appropriate target than Iraq for the coalition forces to attack. March 2004. Israeli minister Nathan Sharansky complains to the BBC that its reporter Orla Gerin is anti-Semitic and that she shows total identification with the goals and methods of Palestinian terror groups. When she reports from Lebanon, Honest Reporting UK is there. Honest Reporting claims to have 175,000 subscribers. Thousands of them, many from the United States, bombard the BBC with emails alleging anti-Israel bias, BBC staff have told us. This April, the BBC Trust censured Middle East correspondent Jeremy Bowen for comments he made on the BBC website about the history of the conflict. We can reveal that a week earlier, the Jewish Chronicle published a piece by Bowen which included exactly the same phrases. You can still read them on the Jewish Chronicle website. But Camera, the American-based media watchdog which earlier had complained about The Guardian, this time formally complained to the BBC. Then a London lawyer complained. The BBC was forced to investigate.
The BBC investigated Jeremy Bowen because they were under such extraordinary pressure. The way that that investigation was perceived by Bowen's colleagues, if you like, in the BBC, was that this was management hoping with one bound to be free from what was very, very intensive pressure, but it struck a chill through the actual BBC newsroom because it signalled to them that they were under assault.
Do you think the BBC would have carried out that investigation into Bowen but for this Israeli pressure which you've been talking about?
No, of course they wouldn't have done.
Veteran BBC presenter Jonathan Dimbleby thought the BBC had caved in.
Not only has Bowen's hard-won reputation been sullied, but the BBC's international status as the best source of trustworthy news in the world has been gratuitously undermined.
When we approached Dimbleby, he refused to take part in this programme. We can reveal that he too is now under investigation for making the above comments. The BBC Trust sent a representative to Oxford to question Professor Schleim about the accuracy of Jeremy Bowen's piece.
I couldn't fault him. I didn't see where he had gone wrong. And my conclusions from this affair is that there are some people in the Jewish community in Britain who listen to the news, monitor the news, and are too quick to start protesting to the BBC. Their complaints are usually unjustified.
It was time to find out who Honest Reporting UK is, who funds it, and who it represents. First surprise, its office is not in Britain, but here in Jerusalem. Its managing editor, Simon Plosker, who is British, admits he worked for BICOM in London and also for the Israel Army Press Office.
Hi, is this Honest Reporting?
Yes, it is.
Peter Oborne from Channel 4 Television.
Simon Plosker wasn't around, and the people there didn't want to speak on his behalf.
You can ask me.
I've just had a conversation with the bloke inside that office. I said, is this the office of Honest Reporting? He said, well, difficult that. We work for a project of Honest Reporting, but as for Honest Reporting itself, it's kind of a virtual organisation.
I still wanted to talk to Simon Plosker about why he ceaselessly attacks the BBC and who he works for. He declined to be interviewed, but gave us this statement.
We don't target the UK media. It is simply that the demonisation of Israel in the media here is that much worse than it is in other places, such as the USA. The BBC and The Guardian produce examples of anti-Israel bias on a more regular basis than others.
The BBC isn't just a programme maker. It has another role as lead broadcaster of emergency appeals to raise funds for our disaster relief agencies to provide humanitarian aid in world catastrophes. It's done so for the last 40 years in conflicts around the world. Last winter, when Israeli forces invaded Gaza, over 1,000 Palestinians were killed, many of them civilians. Hundreds of homes were destroyed, along with much of Gaza's economy and infrastructure. The Disasters Emergency Committee asked British television networks to broadcast an appeal. But Mark Thompson, the BBC's Director General, refused. Labour Minister for Media, former BBC journalist Ben Bradshaw, was outraged.
This was an inexplicable decision. I'm afraid the BBC has to stand up to the Israeli authorities occasionally. Israel has a long reputation of bullying the BBC. And
we decided in the end it was such a matter of public controversy, it was so much heading our news bulletins day after day at the moment, that to broadcast an appeal like this, however worthy the cause, would just mean that it would call into question audiences' trust in our impartiality.
The BBC also said that Thompson had taken advice from the BBC's Independent Appeals Advisory Committee before making his decision. Niaz Alam was a member of that committee. He resigned over Thompson's decision.
What was said exaggerates the truth of whatever consultation took place. The committee didn't formally meet and wasn't consulted in the sense of the committee being consulted.
What about the argument that the appeal would call into question the BBC's impartiality?
This appeal, it did go out on Channel 4 and on ITV, and nobody's questioning their impartiality. It was just a bog-standard disasters emergency appeal.
The children of Gaza are suffering. Today, this is not about the rights and wrongs of the conflict. These people simply need your help.
The Disasters Emergency Committee refuses to talk in public. So we asked the members of the DEC whether they would talk only about humanitarian need in Gaza and how they assessed it. But Christian Aid, the Catholic agency, Cathod, Save the Children and Oxfam all said it was just too sensitive.
Do you think the Israeli lobby was responsible for the decision not to have the Gaza appeal?
Turn it around, it wouldn't have been a serious concern for them if they didn't have that pressure from an extraordinarily active, sophisticated and persuasive lobby sticking up for the Israeli viewpoint.
We have also discovered that the BBC's Gaza decision is exceptional in the light of past appeals.
It's far less controversial than perhaps an appeal in 1982 for victims of the Israeli invasion of Lebanon. And yet the BBC had no trouble doing an appeal in those days.
In 1982, Israel's invasion of Lebanon led to thousands of civilian deaths and ended with the horrendous slaughter of Palestinian men, women and children in Sabra and Shatila refugee camps by Lebanese Christian militia, who were Israel's allies at the time. Here's Sue Lawley as the face of the BBC in that appeal.
The situation looks beyond help, but we can help. We can help by supporting the work of the relief agencies who are now fighting a desperate battle in the towns and villages of the Lebanon. So please send whatever you can to the Lebanon Appeal, P.O. Box 999.
Looking at that appeal from 25 years ago, Mark Thompson's decision not to run an appeal for Gaza looks inconsistent. It looks to me as if the BBC has come dangerously close to losing its reputation for impartiality and for helping those in need around the world, whoever they are.
What's unique about the pro-Israeli lobbies is that they have such good access to politicians. They often operate behind the scenes, and they have primary regard, even though they may come from Britain, not to the interests of the British people, but to a mixture of what they see as British interests, but the interests of another country.
In making this programme, we haven't found anything even faintly resembling a conspiracy, but we have found a worrying lack of transparency, and the influence of the pro-Israel lobby continues to be felt.
Well, Channel 4's 3D week begins next. More details in a sec. You'll need your 3D specs. If you don't have the specs, you can still view and enjoy the programmes.